When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
We have a lot of questions to get through today about a really popular topic for this episode of BDA Baby, Before, During, After Baby. This one is all about nutrition. So whenever I ask everybody what topics I should be covering or guests to have on, I always read through all of them and come up with a bunch of different themes that seem to be coming up over and over again. And nutrition was definitely a big one that came up several times in various different polls that I did. My hair might be really distracting to me, but here we go. So I'm really excited because today we're going to be talking about nutrition in all phases of life for a lot of women who choose to have babies. So before, during, and after baby, nutrition is really important. I actually wasn't aware of how important nutrition postpartum really is until I had my daughter and I was postpartum. And I was trying to figure out what you can have time to make and to eat as a new mom. And it turns out that especially for milk production and also just healing your body from the inside out, that what you put in your body and what you choose to eat is really important. I happened to read a book called The First 40 Days, which was really informative for me about what I can be eating, what I should be eating, what is more helpful to eat as you're healing from childbirth and also as you're feeding a new baby. And a lot of you guys had questions also about ahead of pregnancy, what you can be doing to make your body more fertile, to prepare your body to carry a baby, or just to want to have a baby eventually, what you can be doing there. And then, of course, pregnancy-related questions when it comes to what are good things to eat when you have all these cravings. So we're going to bring on Kelly Levesque, who is an incredible nutritionist. She also just had a baby much more recently than I did. So I'm really grateful that she is taking time out of a newborn schedule to talk to us and to just educate us about nutrition or having a baby. So she's going to come on right now and help us to be more nutritionally sound.
Hey, I'm in a car.
Oh my God. How are you?
Catherine, it's so good to see you.
I know, so good to see you too. I haven't seen you in so long, and you've had another baby since I've last seen you.
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to have as many as humanly possible. I'm obsessed with kids now. It's my new thing.
Well, you make very, very cute babies, so I understand why you want to have many.
Well, you get it. I mean, your morning beach walks, you're like, I have a Kanga and a Kanga pouch now. I don't think I could ever go without this.
I know. It works out really well. It's always, my mom always jokes with me because whenever I go on walks with my mom, she's like, don't you feel like you have a little built-in buddy now? And I'm like, yes, I do.
Yeah.
Like, you just take them wherever you go, and they're just the best ever. So, but thank you so much because you have such a new, fresh baby. And so thank you so much for taking time to chat with us about nutrition. As I was saying before I brought you on just now, that nutrition in all three phases of what we do on this series, before, during, after baby, was such a big and highly requested topic of people just wanting to know what they can be eating before having a baby, what you can be eating when you're pregnant and dealing with cravings. And then, of course, most recently for me, how you can make yourself how you can kind of feed your body in a really healthy and great way, especially as you're healing from delivering a baby, as you're very familiar with. So I wanted to kind of talk about all those different topics and a couple other questions that are hormonal questions people had submitted in. But just from the start, I mean, are there any really just great overall basics that you would say for women? Because I know that we don't like the term diet. Especially, I've been very, very much told by you many years ago, we don't like the word diet, but we just like it as eating and having a healthy lifestyle, right?
Absolutely. I mean, so the cool part about fertility, preparing your body to be pregnant, nurturing the growth of your baby in utero, and also continuing to nurture yourself and your baby in the postpartum phase, a lot of the same nutrients are needed through that whole process. Okay. So that's kind of simple. That's a way to simplify it. So some of my favorite nutrients that we really want to look for in the prenatal stage and throughout pregnancy and after would be DHA. So that's the long chain omega-3s. Mm-hmm. So if someone, most of the time you would be taking that in your prenatal pack or whatever you're taking as well as recommended by your doctor. Mm-hmm. But you can get it in wild fish like salmon. You can get it in pasture-raised eggs. So if you're getting pasture-raised eggs, on average, you're getting twice the long chain omega-3s than if you just got conventional eggs. So that's a way to up it if someone doesn't eat fish. And if someone's totally vegan, they'd want to take an algae-based DHA all the way through. And that's something that's also important is if you're taking a prenatal, the goal would be to start taking it 3 months prior to getting pregnant, because what you want to do is up your nutrient stores. It takes, you know, on average, like an almost like a full trimester to develop an egg and also for sperm. So your hubby-to-be or sperm donor or whatever, like you want to make sure that that person is also taking a high-dose omega-3, really supportive of anti-inflammatory. It's an anti-inflammatory way of eating, but it's also really important for cognitive development of your child. Right. So for brain health. So that's really important. Then you want to think about like your iron levels and the amount, like how you're getting your protein. Because anyone who's anemic, right, iron is so important for delivering oxygen and nutrients all over your body and for baby. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you're, no matter what your lifestyle is, that you're getting a good source of protein in. And then I think about the B vitamins. So I'm sure you heard your doctor tell you like you need folic acid. Well, I'm going to actually correct that. You need folate. So folic acid is the synthetic form of folate. Folate's what you find in food, and it can be in anything from foliage, like leafy greens, like spinach, to also red meat. So it's going to be, B vitamins are really dense in pastured red meat and in red meat of all forms, but folate is critical for the closure of the neural tube in the first trimester. So we want to make sure it's insurance to take your prenatal prior to getting pregnant, but a lot of people have unplanned pregnancies. So just get on it as soon as possible and try to think about eating foliage. Like that's a great way to think of folate.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that one of the big topics that actually came up in one of the episodes that we did a couple weeks ago was when you even are supposed to start going on a prenatal. I have a lot of my girlfriends that aren't even wanting to have a kid this year that are already taking a prenatal vitamin. And then you have some people that get pregnant unexpected and haven't been on a prenatal vitamin.
Yeah. I don't think you need, I mean, here's the reality of it. Your body is amazing and you have nutrient stores. Like I think just as soon as you know, get on a prenatal.
Right. And is a prenatal enough? That was another big question that came up is what else do you take? I remember in my first trimester when I was pregnant, taking my prenatal vitamin was just not in the cards for me. Like I could not stomach a vitamin. I couldn't do it. It made me so nauseous. It made me sick, the idea of even having it. It was advised to me to move to prenatal gummies just to get some sort of nutrients in, which that even made me feel sick. But there's a lot of, you know, people wondering if gummies are enough, if you need to be taking just your prenatal vitamin, is that covering you totally? Should you be bringing in other things? What's the best advice for that?
Yeah, you definitely really want to focus on the nutrient density of food. Some of my favorite foods to eat while pregnant, and this is hard because in your first trimester, you might not feel like eating these things, would be like grass-fed beef, wild salmon, pastured eggs, and protein can be really hard for people in the beginning. So what I would say is if you get pregnant and you feel nauseous in the first trimester, it didn't happen with me with Sebastian, but it was like big time with Toshin. I just couldn't even cook in my kitchen. It was really tough. I was like leaning on nut butters and slathering that on crackers or whatever. So just don't worry because you do however you've eaten the few months leading up to your pregnancy, you do have those nutrient stores. You do have those available for baby. And when you think about it, when your baby is growing in utero, it's relying on that blood lining inside your uterus before, you know, growing the placenta that then will take over. Right. So if you are feeling nauseous, anything counts, like a gummy, getting one of your four prenatals down, like do what you can.
Yeah.
And then find ways to increase nutrient density. So for me, I really relied on egg tacos. Like I was using Siete tortillas and some avocado. So it's a low glycemic almond flour tortilla. So I'm not having that spike and crash, because this is the hard part. When you feel nauseous in your first trimester, a blood sugar spike and crash makes it worse.
Right.
So all you really want is crackers or toast or whatever.
Plain pasta.
Plain pasta. Exactly. Yeah. So you're going up and crashing down. That's okay. We always reassess at that 12-week mark or the 14-week mark. Whenever you're starting to feel like yourself again, we bring in the produce, we bring in the proteins. But let's say you did want the pasta. I would say, well, let's try to get some lentil pasta or some garbanzo bean pasta, something that's going to give us a little more fiber and a little more protein, so that that blood sugar curve isn't as much of a spike and a crash, and we're not inducing more nausea.
Okay.
So that would be my tips. And then when it comes to, like, I have had clients crave candy. I'm really thankful. I don't follow like a specific lifestyle diet like paleo or keto, but right. I'm pretty thankful for some of these lifestyle diets, because it's birthed the companies that create like low glycemic candy, like Smart Sweets,
right.
stuff like yeah. that, where you're like, yeah. okay, I'm craving sour watermelons, but I can have this replacement and it's not going to, you know, create all this blood sugar in my body. Because elevated blood sugar, gestational diabetes, and elevated blood sugar during pregnancy really is not great for baby.
Yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
No, and it's interesting because I didn't actually know that that was such an important part of taking care of yourself and eating well when you're pregnant, because I think so many of us, you know, you watch all these movies and you hear all these stories about people's cravings when they're pregnant. And it's like, I wanted fast food. I wanted ice cream. I wanted cookies. And then your doctor reminds you like, okay, we are going to have a, you know, a diabetes, gestational diabetes test in, you know, a couple weeks. So that's, it's good to be mindful of course, what you're putting in your body, and also knowing that it is, you know, going to your baby. But there are times, I remember when I was, you know, in my first trimester, where I was only eating, as you were saying, like breads, crackers, pastas, and, you know, it was the only thing that made me feel okay to eat. And I ended up getting a lot of extra nutrients from smoothies that my lovely husband made for me, because it was the only way that I could, he would sneak in like collagen peptides or, you know, green protein powder that was helping me get certain nutrients that I just could not stomach otherwise. So finding other creative ways is definitely, I think, a helpful way to be able to get in some of the nutrients when maybe you can't stomach anything.
Well, I will say that leaning on proteins that are bland and cool is really right. supportive. So if someone maybe doesn't do dairy, but then gets pregnant, wants to do Greek yogurt, or they want to do plain cottage cheese, as long as you're finding a clean version of those and there isn't added sugar, that's a great way to go. And you mentioned smoothies. I obviously love smoothies.
You love
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah. You have a a whole incredible mentality behind smoothies, and I want everybody to know about them.
Well, it's just, you know, I love a balanced smoothie because so many smoothies are so full of sugar. And again, I'm trying to mitigate that blood sugar spike and crash for your nausea, for your baby, and get you all those nutrients. So we want protein, we want healthy fat, we want fiber, and we want greens. And then if you add like fruit on top of that or superfood on top of that, great. Mm-hmm. But smoothies for me, Fab Four smoothies, like in the first trimester, I made like a cookies and cream flavored one. I made a snickerdoodle flavored one, a chocolate almond butter. Like I really leaned on that stuff because I needed to balance my blood sugar and feel my best.
Yeah. And also I think it's helpful to have a really great and solid protein powder to be able to add to that, which you have now, which is so exciting.
Yeah. Yes, I did. I did come out with a grass fed collagen that also is a complete protein because it's just made like bone broth. So it's chemical free extraction, which when you're pregnant, that's what I realized when I was pregnant, when I was breastfeeding, when I wanted to give Sebastian some of my smoothie, I was like, where is this coming from? Right. Let's pull back the curtain. I need to know how are these things made? What it really contains. Like we don't need a lot of added fillers, vitamins, and all that stuff. You're getting that from Whole Foods. So I did. And I didn't want to be a product come out with a product, to be totally honest with you, what a headache. But but now I have it in my cabinet and we all drink it. So it's fine.
Well, it's also so interesting because when you're talking about smoothies and especially when you're, you know, before, during, and after pregnancy, I think smoothies are probably a little bit when it comes to postnatal or postpartum diet, I always remember hearing a lot about eating warm foods. And since I just had a baby 6 months ago, almost 7 months ago, it's
wow.
I know,
flew.
Crazy. Flew by.
That flew by.
But I was saying that I didn't know really how important it was and still is because I'm still breastfeeding to really pay attention to what you're putting in your body and how you're feeding yourself, because breastfeeding is, you know, takes so much out of the mom and you want to be able to produce a lot of milk. There's so much on social media and about people sharing about having challenge with milk production, having too much milk, having too little milk, not being able to have any milk. And you want to do all of that to make sure you're feeding your baby and doing a really great job there. But then you also need to make sure that you're paying attention to yourself and feeding yourself, and also the importance of warm foods, which I thought was so interesting after having my baby, just being able to, you know, feed yourself with warm foods. And can we talk a little bit more about that? Because I thought that was so interesting as well.
Yeah. I mean, you read the book 40 First Days, which comes, it's a really traditional way of eating in postpartum. It's really popular in Asia and throughout parts of Europe. But warming foods, when you think about delivering a baby, warming foods are going to be a little easier for your body to digest. A lot of them are broken down. Think about stews, bone broths, even warm grain bowls. The one thing that I would say is that there isn't like a double blind study scientifically on warm foods. It's really more of a traditional way of eating. And I would say as a postpartum mom, I craved more warm foods. Personally, I didn't feel like having a cold smoothie in the morning. If I had my smoothie, it was more of like a 3 or 4 o'clock afternoon thing because I was trying to get more calories in. Mm-hmm. I would say that's a big problem in the postpartum space is that we are new moms and we're running around trying to take care of our baby. And it's hard to add on top of like all the feedings that we have feeding ourselves. Yeah. So I think making sure that you have a plan for postpartum, making soups and stews ahead of time, putting them in your freezer, but also you can see with your doctor, there's some things you should test. You want to check your thyroid postpartum because it's common that someone has low thyroid postpartum can go into postpartum depletion. And if that goes, undiagnosed, it's really hard on the mom and it's hard to come back from that. So we want to make sure iron levels are good, thyroid level is good, vitamin D levels are good. And so you can get a blood test on your own in the postpartum when you're postpartum, but you can also submit your breast milk to something called Lactation Lab. It's less than $100. And what it does is it gives you the exact nutrients that are in your breast milk. So a lot of times moms are like, oh, well, I just am going to eat a bunch of lactation cookies or oatmeal or all these things that are on the internet and claim to like increase breast milk. But what you'll notice from Lactation Lab is you may actually be low in amino acids or fatty acids, meaning low in protein or low in fat, low in B vitamins. And so that comes through in your milk. And then you can see your results and say like, oh, wow, like I was actually surprised. I eat a fair amount of protein, but my breast milk with Sebastian at one point was really low in protein. So I had to add in that afternoon smoothie, and I had to make easy to grab proteins like hard-boiled eggs for my fridge and pre-made salmon. And it's like not fun to have to always eat that way, but you feel so much better. Your nutrient levels are higher. You prevent the deficiency in yourself. And then you also prevent the deficiency in your breast milk, which your baby is still growing so much developmentally. First of all, in the first year, their gut is leaky. And so you're feeding them, if you're breastfeeding, you are giving them the most amazing prebiotics to create their microbiome, to protect them. I mean, from years of disease. It's like a beautiful, the science behind it. It's a lot of work. And so kudos to people who are in it for the long run. But, but I would say if people are interested, Lactation Lab is just a phenomenal, tool to find out what you and baby need.
That's so interesting. I actually hadn't heard of that. So that's something that I definitely, because I think when you deliver your baby, you want to be able to get a good read on your blood, but also be mindful of the fact that you are still breastfeeding. So your hormones are going to be still going a little bit loopy, but it could be good to just do it via breast milk to see what you need and what you might need to be adding.
Yeah, it's definitely an easy, affordable way without having to go through a doctor if someone wants that. And also, I would just wait 6 to 8 weeks. I would wait at least 6 weeks before you send your breast milk in, because like you said, your hormones are all over the place.
Yeah.
So you really want to make sure your breast milk is in and balanced before you get it tested.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
So one of the other big things, just because we're talking about breast milk and breastfeeding and the importance of getting in enough calories to be able to produce enough breast milk for your baby, lactation cookies were a huge thing that leading up to when I was about to deliver, everybody was saying, are you going to make your lactation cookies? Make sure you get some lactation cookies to quickly make when you come home from the hospital. And is that legit? Do lactation cookies really work? You mentioned that people look up, you know, eating oatmeal, having oatmeal raisin cookies to be able to increase your milk supply. Is that a real thing?
So the science isn't really strong. I think what it ends up being is that people are eating, like adding flax, adding oats, I think mother's milk, fenugreek and things of that nature have stronger science behind it than the oats. Flax stronger than oats, but still I think it's upping your caloric intake. But that's another thing you can see is if you send your milk to Lactation Lab, you may be fine on all of like the carbohydrate intake coming from your lactose, coming from your breast milk. You may be low in long chain omega-3s. You may be low in protein. But the interesting thing is they're finding that a lot of those lactation cookies and powders and tinctures and stuff, they are unfortunately going to be higher in heavy metals because plants like oats are really good at sequestering heavy metals from the ground and rice. So like a lot of them are made from rice flour or rice protein. And so when you see that, it's sequestering those heavy metals from the ground, then it turns into a powder. And so Lactation Lab actually will tell you if you have elevated heavy metals. And what they've found is that a lot of times it's when people are taking these lactation powders and cookies. And if you make it on your own, I'm all for it. Like ground flax, flax, drink the mother's milk, drink the mother's milk tea in the afternoon, make your own homemade oatmeal flax cookies. I'm all for it. But I think when we're trying to do the quick fix of like this like powdered product is telling me it's going to make milk, I'd steer clear of that stuff.
Okay. Interesting. Cause that's such a big topic that came up. I also, when it comes to breastfeeding and just postpartum care, whether you're breastfeeding or not, it's confusing. I found personally, because everybody, you know, while we all want to be mindful of the fact that we don't want to feel pressure to get our bodies back on track or to lose the baby weight, or, you know, bounce back into shape. There's so much talk around that. It is confusing to have just had a baby. And then people are like, are you getting enough calories? Are you making sure that you're eating enough? And you're like, well, aren't I supposed to be not eating as much as I was when I was pregnant? Because aren't I supposed to be losing weight now that I'm, you know, that I've had the baby and that I'm supposed to be getting my pre-baby body back? And so that whole thing was, for me, really confusing. And I didn't realize how much importance is put on making sure you're getting enough calories to produce enough breast milk, because you do burn calories when you're breastfeeding, and then you want to be able to keep up your milk supply. And it was like a whole thing that I hadn't really thought that much about.
Yeah. You know, it's for me as a nutritionist, when I'm working with clients in their postpartum phase, a couple things that come up for me. What I have noticed is that a lot of the postpartum recipe books and books really focus on a high amount of carbohydrates. I don't necessarily think that that is necessary. It's caloric load overall that's really important. Never are we trying to decrease calories, because you do put on weight when you're pregnant. You have weight to burn. Your body hormonally does that. Your microbiome, actually, when we test the microbiome of pregnant women in their third trimester, it looks like that of someone with metabolic syndrome. And the authors of this really amazing study that was published a few years ago, their hypothesis was that the microbiome becomes inflammatory on purpose so that the body retains more weight to take care of baby and to have weight on the body for breastfeeding. So you want to make sure that you are eating enough, but you also want to know your body prepared you and put some stuff on to burn and make breast milk as well. So when it comes to people wanting to snap back or get their body back, there's a couple things that I talk to my clients about. Because first of all, when you are postpartum and breastfeeding, my hunger was way more ravenous than it was when I was pregnant. It's insane. I'm like, watch out, mama needs to get to the kitchen. I'm starving. You know, like you just feel so much more hungry.
Right.
So keeping that in mind is important. But a couple tips right away is you just spent 10 months not drinking alcohol, most pregnant women, and they have this thing where they like, great, you got home from the hospital, here's your champagne, here's your glass of red wine. We're incorporating alcohol right away. We want to remember that if someone wants to ease back in, your hormones are being metabolized by your liver and in your gut. And we want to free up the space for your liver to do its job. And we want to continue to detoxify through your bowels. And so I always tell clients, let's steer clear of alcohol. Let's steer clear of random over-the-counter medication that we don't need. Obviously, right after you have a baby, you're going to be given pain medication or Advil or Motrin to deal with the pain, but then check in with yourself. Am I done? Do I need to be taking this anymore? Do I need to, you know, people pop Sudafed, they feel a little allergy. Let's try to steer clear of over-the-counter medication that we don't need unless it's like definitely necessary. And then stick with your prenatal, because when you talk about your body's ability to burn the weight that you've put on your body and to burn the fuel that you're eating, every single cell has this little machine in it called a mitochondria, and that's what makes energy. And we want to make sure we're providing for our mitochondria, and B vitamins are so important in that. It's why we needed energy prior to making a baby, why we needed all those B vitamins in while the baby was in us, and just as important through the whole time you're breastfeeding. So if you have a prenatal, take it all the way till like the last day you're done breastfeeding. And I would maybe even say like a couple months after, just to make sure your nutrient stores are back up.
Got it.
So instead of focusing on the food for that like postpartum baby body, focus on making sure you're not taxing your body. And then everyone says sleep when your baby sleeps. That's really hard to do during the day. Let's try to get your baby sleeping through the night so that you get a good night's sleep. Right. And then just keep track of like that, the processed carbohydrates and sugar when you can. Like try to eat whole carbs like squashes, berries, all that stuff that's wrapped in fiber, because nature, I personally believe, like, you believe in God, nature, like the universe, like when you eat whole foods, that sugar and starch is wrapped in fiber. It feeds your microbiome and it releases slowly. So you're not having these spikes and crashes that can create excess insulin and weight gain and irritability and all that. So eat whole foods. It's the way we're supposed to.
I mean, I think it's also important always, and whenever I have these conversations about just, you know, health and nutrition, especially body after baby, because there's so much emphasis put on women for that part of the pregnancy journey, that everyone's bodies are different. Everyone heals from, you know, labor differently. Some people, it happens really quickly that you get your post or your pre-baby body back. For other people, it takes a really long time. Some people, it never happens. And also to keep in mind that hormones are such a big factor. As you mentioned, thyroid. I did one of these conversations with Lauren Evarts, my friend, who talked about her thyroid condition, which is why she wasn't able to lose weight or see any change in her body after having her daughter. And it's just, I think, being really gentle with ourselves, which is obviously easier said than done, because everybody wants to, you know, you want to hurry up and get back to your life, or get back to looking a certain way or feeling a certain way. But it is, you know, a huge undertaking that your body just grew this human and you just delivered the baby, and then you're breastfeeding, which is a whole other thing. So I think just being really gentle with your body and know that everyone is different is super important just to always remember. I think
one more thing too, if someone is breastfeeding, there is something, I have worked with a number of clients where breastfeeding does a great job of pulling the weight off, and it may be 6 weeks, it may be 3 months, it may be the whole 9 months, right? It took you 9 months to build the baby, 9 months to get it off.
Right.
But there are a certain percentage of women that when they're breastfeeding, their body hormonally will hold on to 8 to 12 pounds. Right. And that's something to remember, because I've had clients work and work and work, and then the day they stop breastfeeding, like it's 3 weeks and the weight's gone.
Right.
So just remember that and have grace with yourself for sure.
Yeah. No, I had a couple of my girlfriends that also had that, which is such, it just shows you that every single one of, as a woman, every single one of our bodies are so different, and we handle pregnancy and postpartum and even before having a baby so differently. So, but I think also one of the big questions that came up was, are there good foods for you specifically? Are there good foods to avoid or to bring into your diet that are consistent with, you know, pre-baby, during pregnancy, and after? People ask about raspberry leaf teas, about different things you can be having to get your uterus and your eggs really fertile. But I'm wondering if there are, especially hormonally, things that you would say to avoid or make sure to integrate into your diet.
Yeah, there are some superfoods for pregnancy for sure. So we want to think about, the most important things are our fat-soluble vitamins, that's A, D, E, and K. Our B vitamins, that's including folate, B6 and B12 for energy and neural tube closure. You want to also think about minerals like selenium, iodine, and zinc for immunity, for thyroid health. So a couple of my favorites would be, if someone wants to incorporate selenium, zinc, and iodine, one of my favorite ways to do that is seaweed snacks. So it can get, you can get a phenomenal amount of that through like mineralized salts or seaweed snacks. There's also kelp flakes that you can shake on a meal like once a week, and then you're getting those minerals. And then if you're using salt, use pink salt or Redmond salt. So if someone's a little lower in iodine, then Redmond salt is a little bit higher than a traditional pink Himalayan salt. And then when it comes to all those B vitamins, like folate, think about foliage and also red meat. Leafy greens, spinach, kale, all that good stuff. Avocado is a phenomenal source of vitamin E and folate. And then the wild salmon, the pasture-raised eggs, like all of those are nutrient superstars. Please do not do egg whites when you're trying to get pregnant, or when you're pregnant, or when you're breastfeeding, because the yolk is so full of B vitamins and also a nutrient called choline that we're finding is so, so important for cognitive development, for your baby IQ, all of that. So, find a source of choline. Make sure if you're not eating eggs that your prenatal has choline in it. Some of my favorite prenatals are Seeking Health, Full Circle, Parallel. You know, I tend to go for functional prenatals that have a lot more. So they may be 6 to 8 pills, which may be too much for someone. And if that's too much for you, I know Ritual has 2, which is a little bit less in the amount that I would want a client to have, but better than nothing. And again, gummies, better than nothing.
Yeah.
Right. So those would be some food superstars and easy things to bring into your diet. Brazil nuts are a great source of selenium as well for thyroid health. So again, a low thyroid prior to getting pregnant or an autoimmune disease that is going untreated or taken care of are 2 causes of miscarriage that can be prevented. So if you know you have an autoimmune disease or you know you have thyroid issues, see your doctor prior to getting pregnant. Get that under control and you'll be great. And if you have polycystic ovarian syndrome, a great thing to do is really work on blood sugar control. So either get a glucometer, get a continuous glucose monitor, really work on that blood sugar balance, because that's going to decrease the amount of cysts that you produce and increase your chance to ovulate.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's really interesting. And also a great topic that we can cover at some point in the future, because PCOS is a big topic that comes up in a lot of these questions that are submitted of women who are, you know, and it seems to be a topic people are talking more openly about, which is just dealing with PCOS, especially when you want to get pregnant, but also pre-pregnancy of just, you know, how to regulate your period, how to be able to nourish your body, get your body back on track. And PCOS is a big topic that a lot of women are struggling with. And I think knowing that you can help that through nutrition is so important.
I have a number of PCOS mamas who have gotten pregnant naturally without IVF, and and many who have increased egg quality and ended up doing IVF and had phenomenal success.
Oh, wow.
So don't be discouraged if you're diagnosed with PCOS. It is insulin resistance manifesting itself in your ovaries, and we can decrease the insulin, which would decrease the cysts and increase ovulation.
That's great. That's so exciting and encouraging for people who are watching who might have PCOS or who might be worried about that, because it is, I feel like people now see that you have PCOS, like, is that going to mean you can't get pregnant? Is that going to mean that you're going to struggle with that forever? I mean, we should probably just do a whole conversation on this.
We totally can. It's definitely a major cause of fertility issues for women. And I don't want to say it causes infertility, because if we know the way back to health, we can manage it.
Okay. And last question, because this was also something that came up before we wrap up, postpartum hair loss. A lot of people wondering if that is something that you can fix or help with the help of eating a good diet, making sure you get enough vitamins in. I myself notice like little tiny baby hairs that are coming back.
Oh, the bangs are fun. The bangs are fun. I'm getting into that. It normally starts really, your hair starts breaking between 4 and 6 months, and then you can literally feel bald. You're like, what, where did all my hair go? So I'm like just entering that. And it was so bad with Sebastian. I remember at one point being like, I can't wear a ponytail. There's one hair in the rubber band.
Oh my gosh. So is that something that you can help with good diet and nutrition and vitamins?
Yeah. You want to remember that your body is now trying to literally keep a child alive. It's going to take everything from you and give it to that child. This comes down to that fueling that we talked about, making sure your nutrient levels are high. So if you do lactation lab, you want to look for low amino acids. You want to look for low iron. Both of those things, if they're depleted, are going to contribute to a more aggressive hair loss. And so if someone is like, I'm having a really hard time getting all the protein in my body that I need, or you know, they're more plant-based or whatever, I say, you should take something like Perfect Amino. So Perfect Amino is amino acid capsules, and they're going to give you really bioavailable protein. So on average, like eggs and steak and fish, and then even plants, they range from 40% bioavailable to sometimes less than 20% bioavailable. Meaning if you ate 10 grams of quinoa protein, you may only be absorbing 2 grams of that. And so these capsules are a 98% bioavailable protein, because it's already broken down in a way that your body can absorb it. So it's called Perfect Amino. I put people on it who under eat and have suboptimal levels of protein to be mostly because all your hormones, neurotransmitters, cells in your body, they're all made from protein. And so when we're giving everything that we have to our baby, we just don't want to be in that postnatal depletion mode.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. It's so interesting. I mean, I can sit here and talk so much longer about all these different things, but we'll have to do a whole other conversation.
We'll do another one. Just let
me know. This is all so interesting. I mean, as a new mom and just knowing the importance of, you know, feeding yourself, making sure that you're covered, and then also for your baby as well, is just, it's so interesting to me. And then I also just started Solid. So also just being mindful of what I'm giving to her is also really interesting. And then, you know, you as a woman, I think you just hear so much about nutrition and making sure that you're eating to be, to feel good, to look good, to feel strong. And then, you know, you have the whole factor of what you're putting in your body and how you're caring for yourself when you're actually growing the baby and being pregnant. So there's a lot of different things to keep
track. We do it all. We're expected to do it all.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's so interesting. So thank you again so much for taking the time. I'm going to make sure all of these in the description, all the different topics and products that you mentioned, because I think those are really helpful for people who might be struggling with certain things or want to add into their diet. So thank you, Kelly.
You're welcome. And I have a book recommendation for you for Solids.
Oh my God, tell me.
Super Nutrition for Babies. People don't know about it. It's from Functional MDs. It talks about enzymes that your baby is producing and how introducing bitter foods is going to increase her love of vegetables later in life. Like, there's good stuff in there.
Oh, amazing. Well, it turns out she loves vegetables, which is really interesting so far. So I'm really into that book. I'm definitely going to get that. Thank you.
Cool. You're welcome.
Awesome.
All right, Kelly. So good to see you.